to sort of engage in some discussion and questions and answers as well, because I don't necessarily want to deliver a monologue which may be totally irrelevant to anything you'd like to hear. So areas I guess I could look at. First of all, it might be worth just saying the sorts of things that I'm doing at the minute, because you've got a title, I think, and I don't know if it went round to everybody, sort of a Christian academic. And you've got Steve Micklewaith talking in a couple of days. He are really quite different sorts of academics, if you like, in that he's much more in the direct line of which way it had gone on to a higher degree and then a postdoctoral sort of study, involve teaching, research and other things, but very much at a distance, because the major things that I'm involved with now are running a school and seeing how it operates, and life sciences. We've got a statewide enterprise with all of those, with the rural clinical school at Burnie, and we've got standing the programs that are run by those schools, and also the research that's done by them. And of course, we have a significant involvement with them. Involved now with direct teaching and research than I would have been when I was very much involved with paediatrics and both at the teaching and research level, but also in terms of working in the hospital in the Department of Paediatrics sphere, and so you don't keep seeing them forever. But I thought what I might do just initially is talk about how, in terms of the sorts of things that you deal with in those sort of roles, how perhaps the various Christian disciplines are going to be important in that, because one of us is making decisions about programs. We've had major changes in the School of Medicine, quite a traumatic change in a sense 10 years ago when we changed the course from 6 years to five, against quite a bit of opposition amongst other people. And how do you handle that sort of thing as a Christian in particular? And I guess this is where the important disciplines of the Christian life are going to be within a framework that the university sets up. It's got its legal structure, which sits within the legal structure of the country, and so you are operating within that framework. But how you actually then exercise the authority or leadership you've got is going to be very much governed by your own Christian life and experience, and in those sort of things the disciplines of Bible reading are going to be quite important, and prayer and fellowship, and it's worth saying a little bit about each of those, I think. In terms of Bible reading and I guess submitting to Scripture and understanding it and applying it, I've certainly found daily reading is important, and I think there's any all sort of systems that one can use, but the important thing is to use some sort of system. And I've personally used the Scripture Union program, partly because I threw the Bible in a five-year cycle or thereabouts, so that you actually do cover the whole of the Bible. And even though some parts of it might seem a little drier and less relevant than others, there's always going to be something there which will actually help you in the situations that you're sort of dealing with at the time. And just as an example today, the current readings are from Corinthians, and as some notes on Corinthians pointed out, 2 Corinthians probably wouldn't be at the top of most people's favourite books of the Bible. It's not one of those things you would sort of hit on and say, ah, here's a magic piece. But if you look at just the thing for today, it's 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 12 to 22, but the first bit is all I want to read, explaining why he's He had planned to come and visit them. He's changed his plans, but that doesn't mean that he's fickle or that what he's stand for in the gospel or what he's preaching the gospel is going to be fickle because they might think he's not able to make up his mind and stick to it. So what this says is, now this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, with integrity and godly sincerity. We have done so relying not on worldly wisdom, but on God's grace. And so it goes on. And I think in one of the important things that the daily readings direct you back to, and this one is an example, is that living in the world and carrying on with the activity of the day, whatever that happens to be, that living with integrity and aspect, because even if you don't say anything about the gospel, the way in which you act and respond tend to be a lack of integrity or dubious or questionable sort of actions, then that's not only going to be something that people will relate to the individual, but the stador is not something that's solid. So I think that's, and I find anyway that the need to be reminded of that on a daily basis is important, and certainly worth. And that is can be a daily thing as well. It can be more frequent than that. And I guess one thing that I've not been necessarily very good at is during the day when situations arise. I guess what often happens is you've got a program and you get through it, and sometimes you remember to pray in particular and certain circumstances. Often, and while it's not sufficient, it's probably helpful if you know you've got a particularly difficult meeting or a difficult issue coming up that you've got to deal with. And the sorts of things, enough money to do everything that everyone would like, you've got to make decisions about. Sometimes I think that if you make everybody equally unhappy, you've probably done a good job, but that's perhaps a rather negative way of looking at things. And, seek God's help, but also to hear what God and the Spirit might be saying at that particular time. Often bothering them as well as the particular issue you happen to be dealing with. There's all sorts of crises and difficulties that people run into apart from the their sort of work with teaching, research, and the other. Often, if you're working with a staff member of general staff, child, or someone who's got some particular problem, and you get to talk about what the issues might be. Fellowship's another important thing to cultivate, and that can be. And I guess one of the things I'll come back to is how that perhaps can vary from place to place and time to time. Like obviously with your group here, you've got a group who can have fellowship together, and that's an extremely life. But it's something that'll change when you leave university, and the next question will be is where is that next group of the Christian community or fellowship that you link with? Now, obviously that your local church has people in it who are part of your particular discipline or your area of work, and so you can communicate in around those things within that context. But very often in a church community you may not have people who have the same professional background or career, and it's quite helpful, I think, to have a group who will help boards in that particular area, because they will understand the particular issues that you're confronted with more than someone who perhaps hasn't had that experience. Both types of fellowship and understanding are important, but I think it's certainly worth thinking about that as you sort of move through the various phases of your. Fortunate, I guess, as a group in paediatrics, about over a period of years at one of the paediatric conferences, which was the annual thing that was held in Australia for paediatricians. And so there were a group of us who just happened to get together and find that we were Christians and we had similar interests. We formed what was called a paediatric prayer group, which was some of us, I guess, from scattered around the country, from Perth to Brisbane. As a group who usually met at the annual conference. We might meet at other times during the year. We exchanged a letter just before that, and we exchanged a Christmas letter up the others, and so you'd pray around that particular issue. Now, that's on top of what... So something to think about as you perhaps progress on through to the next stage of a career. Any thoughts on that at all? Yeah,
Sam? Yeah,
sure. This was one which we sort of set up ad hoc and have kept running, and we've kept adding people to it by and large. But there is a broader one in the medical area called the Christian Medical and Dental Fellowship, which is and that also has student members, so it's something that goes on from student days right through to people in the profession. And that's a much broader group than just our little paediatric group. And it has state branches. Having said that, at the moment we don't have a branch in Tasmania. We're affiliated with the Victorian branch. But there are a number of other groups in the legal profession, in science. What others? ISCAST, which has a meeting on next week with the guy who's coming to talk about Darwin's compass. There are some of the other groups in each of the professions. Probably have a sort of list as well of some of the ones that I don't have off the top of my head. But you will find there's teachers' groups as well. So there are some that the discipline there is more of teaching than of the basic, be it science or engineering. Or they're certainly worth looking at. They often have publications, which can sometimes be very helpful. And then they can often have an influence on society. One example just recently, the Australian Medical Council, which is the body in Australia which is responsible for the accreditation of medical practitioners, has just developed a code of conduct. So as part of that, part of the code of conduct talks about obviously what one of the particular issues that the Christian Medical Fellowship wanted to have input into was the area of to what extent a doctor could be compelled to undertake treatment or a process or even referral that was against their conscience. Areas like abortion and euthanasia, which is a separate debate in itself at the moment, came up as examples. And so they were able to influence the code by providing comments back, so that's now been modified to the extent the statement says that a doctor can't be compelled to provide treatment that is against their conscience. They certainly should not impede. They certainly are not going to be compelled to undertake that those procedures or practice. So that's an example, I guess, of where a Christian professional body that's made up of practitioners has actually taken a role that's just broader than supporting itself. So I thinking about in the future. Some other things to think about. In an academic, obviously those things around scholarship, the development of new knowledge, the excellence, I think, in teaching and learning as well as in research, as well as in practice from areas like mine where you actually are dealing with a professional course rather than a course which doesn't directly lead to a professional qualification or a automatic practice medicine does. I think the other thing that's relevant there in terms of understanding scripture and your Christian faith is that while you're in the process of undertaking a tertiary degree, and even more so when you go on to a higher degree or honours, or if you do, is to ensure that you ending of your Christian beliefs up to that sort of standard. I think has been a concern at times that often people who are Christian will they'll they'll develop intellectually in a way in their scholastic work, but not necessarily grow in the same. Christianity is all about intellectual belief and understanding. It's much more than that. But it will, I think, as you're developing your understanding of your particular subject and all the detail about it. Opportunity to thrash through issues that you mightn't if you're in your own particular people from other denominations, other backgrounds, and you can, I think, gain in your views and perspectives. I was reflecting on that. I think what you probably learn out of that over time is that God's community is actually bigger than ours. See in Jesus' challenge to the Pharisees in particular, but also the disciples, was that I don't think he ever accused them of being too liberal. I think, if anything, he accused them of actually being too narrow and of new things at the breadth and depth that he did. In other words, they were often criticised for wanting to box things in. Who sinned this blind, or and so on. And in other words, the view was too narrow. I don't think that's always the case, but I think that is a challenge, and certainly as you meet with other Christians and talk about other perspectives and probably a responsibility for people to have the opportunity for a tertiary education and experience in a university. Perhaps just to say one other thing, in a sequence of things before I sort of stop and see if there's other things. One of the other issues, I guess, is if I take from being a Christian academic at UTAS, well, I can't give you an answer to that individually. And I think in many instances there's no, for many people there's not straight lines, for some there are, and so on. On the other hand, there are some people who for which that's very different. If I contrast my own situation with that of my sister, who was younger than me, she was very clear that from Form 4 or Grade A medical missionary, and that's what she set out to do, and that's what she was. And there are some people like that, I think, where it's absolutely clear and definite as to where they might head. So it's much less definite and straightforward than that. So that you really move through a series of steps, some of which appear to be sort of automatic. You get through one thing, other things almost arise. Well, it can arise absolutely out of the blue. Science. In fact, that's what I enrolled in. The warden of the particular college I was at Melbourne sort of said he didn't think that was a very good idea and I should do science. So I withdrew from agricultural science and started to do science, which I did for 2 years, and then transferred to medicine. Not necessarily do paediatrics per se, but actually wanted to do at that stage was fairly primitive compared with genetics now. The most refined analysis of chromosomes at that stage, for those who do know science, was the karyotypes of the cells that just showed you the chromosomes with the high resolution stuff showed you some bands on the chromosomes, and that was that. And at that point, it looked as though that was going to be where genetics sort of stopped. Now, of course, we've got all the molecular genetics and so on. Having moved into that area, I then went on to do paediatrics, because that seemed to be the most closest link to genetics in terms of human genetics rather than animal or fruit fly Drosophila genetics, which is the standard progress, I guess, as you go through that degree. But then you other things can arise, and I was fortunate enough to be asked to apply for a research position at the Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne, which I then took, and then through various manoeuvres, straightforward sort of progression. But at each step, you may have an opportunity that comes up, and in that stage, you have to weigh up all the particular issues that are present at the time. And one of the other things that is important, I think, in your consideration of that is where you're actually up to in the terms of your life cycle and where that fits with family. Is there a partner involved? Have you got children? What age are the children? Should you move because they're at a particular age, or are they at an age where moving is a problem for their schooling? Some kids it's not going to go through that regardless. Others it might have quite a profound effect, and that's a very individual's. And then there obviously can be the spiritual and the guidance which might come in help from others who have a view of and can come and say, well, we think that this is what you ought to be considering. Sometimes that can seem to be quite inspired. Other times it can just be someone, as you will, has put together a view of what that next step might be. And I guess that's... That you just have to take that as the opportunities come up, I think, and through progression. But that's going to vary over time, and you have different responsibilities at different stages. There at the moment, I think, and see if there's any questions or comments that people want to make. Yeah. I guess it's more expectations of what's appropriate. And so it's very much got to be an individual thing, large number of cases that that happens. But certainly it does in some, open to the fact that it could happen at any particular case. And to be as part of our, I guess, program for the, the objectives for the medical graduate, which we have, for example, and all medical schools have, most of them will actually talk about meeting the physical, emotional, social, psychological and spiritual needs of patients. So that is recognised, and often if you're taking a family history from families, you will actually ask them about not only who's in the family and what illnesses the parents and other relatives have, but what support there is in the family. And particularly if you've got a situation where it's a child who has a chronic illness or even a life-threatening one, then the support of that family in terms of not a relative or something like that is going to be important. So you actually would ask about those sorts of supports. And that can be the open Christian things to, even if you are not involved yourself, often hospitals, you're in a hospital, has a chaplain, and you can get the chaplain to come to the family as well. Or mainly you will pray with families. Because in my case, I'm dealing with children rather. So, if you sort of see your practice as the main focus of it as being for evangelism, then I think you are going to run into trouble, because that will offend some people, and they will actually then, and have in some instances I'm aware of, complain to the medical board. But I think if you're sensitive about how you manage that, that's highly very unlikely to happen, as long as it's done appropriately.
Yeah. How do you respond to people who may or may not be atheist or agnostic points of view and that sort of thing when conflicts arise?
I think sometimes you will get into conflict over particular issues, I think, The university, by and large, would not approve unethical conduct, so hopefully you'd never get into a situation where you're arguing with someone about this is something that's unethical. Occasionally, there will be an issue where you would disagree morally with someone's view, and then you clear, and I guess one example, I have one of my senior staff members who is a pacifist and therefore would be not willing to engage in any activity, research or otherwise, which might be able to be used in any context of war or of... even supporting military activity of any sort. I won't go into the area, otherwise that would be perhaps moving too close to the particular issue. But that's one where a person has made it clear that that's an area they will not be engaged with. If to go down that track, then they'll need to have someone else to be involved. Now, I don't think in that instance the university would say, well, look, either you do this or you're out. It happened in some instances, and that I think that then you are left with the decision, I think, of saying, well, I'm actually not going to sidestep this one, and therefore I think you probably at that point, if you're not prepared to, if the university or some other group says you will, then I think you're left with the option of actually resigning. And I think that's what you may have to do. That very rarely happens, I think. In most instances, there's an arrangement whereby, if in that example I gave, that someone else can take the running in that particular project if that's absolutely some issues, I guess, that have arisen where there are matters of conscience, but different views even within the Christian community. Those are things, I think, which can arise and where... piece. It's broader than the Christians, and I think if you take this latest issue of the Dying with Dignity Bill that Nick McKim has put to Parliament, Tasmanian branch, which is not a Christian organisation by any means, has come out very strongly against it, and so has the Nursing Federation. Now, the Christians within that who would take their opposition stance very much along a Christian viewpoint. But I think the reason why the broader group have come out against it is that they feel in the way it's been at least organised that basically they are actually being asked to be the agents of actually terminating the patient's life and saying, no, that's not something we're into. It's not something that's consistent with our profession and our professional beliefs. So often, and while there'd be a Christian component of that, it's much broader. I think the same applies to abortion, although probably less so than the Dying with Dignity Bill, where there's a view that, no, that a lot of people who may not necessarily have a Christian or religious objection to abortion would have a moral objection and would not wish to undertake those procedures. Christian is always actually to speak up on those issues, and certainly a number of people did with the Dying with Dignity Bill, so-called. I guess some of the things that are enjoyable I'll go for a minute, I think. I think that there's a great enjoyment and responsibility, really, in being here, knowledge, and being able to see people learn. I think that's really quite something that's quite special, and I guess to some extent gone into this role, which is more not so much directly involved with individual teaching, but it's actually more around shaping courses and saying, well, how is this course going to actually equip people to practice for the future so rapidly? So how really are we training our people at the moment to really be equipped to practice, and it's changed so much when... There might have been a belief when I trained that you could actually learn everything there was to know about medicine. That, well, it wasn't true then, but it's certainly not true now. So it's much more now about how do you actually equip people to get the ability to actually analyse it and weigh it up. Like, there's a massive amount of information on medical and other things often come along to you with a host of websites, if not a great printout, saying, well, this is what's said about X. So I think that's one of the challenges. I think the other thing in research is a huge opportunity to actually discover something new and to actually contribute to knowledge, which hopefully is going to be helpful in the future. So there's some of the really, I think, interesting, exciting opportunities to do those things, consistent with really looking for what is good and excellent and true, and I think that's what you're endeavouring.
What's the time?
Just on two, by me.